Hello, welcome everyone. I just want to welcome everybody to the call, and I'm so glad to be with you all and so grateful that we could have this time together. And I also want to let you know, this is Karen, and that this call is being recorded, and we'll be putting the recording of the call up on the website so that anyone who wasn't able to participate can hear it, and anyone who's here tonight but wants to listen to it again can do so. So, welcome everyone, and I'm going to begin with just an acknowledgement to all of you, to the wisdom that lives within each one of your hearts, and to the courage and conviction that you have to finding that inner wisdom and listening to it. So, acknowledgement to all of that within all of you. I hope that you've all been having a wonderful couple of weeks since our last class. I know I have. I've been thinking of all of you and hoping that good things are happening in your lives. And I'm hoping that you've been able to keep the spark going from the work that we all did together in our first class. And one of the really powerful aspects of doing deep inner spiritual work is that an amazing synchronicity starts to unfold in your life. And since our last class, I've been noticing so much synchronicity in my life. Things have been arising and coming into my path every day, every single day, that are affirming and strengthening the work that we're doing together. It's just been so amazing to me to watch as every day something new comes my way that's so deeply related to the work that we're doing of understanding and empowering our inner and outer voices. And I'm just so grateful for this experience, and I'm really looking forward to sharing all these amazing resources that have been coming with all of you in the website and in our classes together. So every so often I'll be posting new resources on the class webpage that are related to the particular place in our process, because we really are moving through a process. We're beginning with talking about voice and talking about listening, these two twin parts of the work that we're doing. And each resource that we'll be posting and working with is going to be relevant to the particular place that we are in our process as we move from voice and listening on to other steps and phases like telling our stories and the practice of contemplation and empathic listening. So as these new resources come, I'll send an email to all of you to let you know there's something new up on the website that you can use in your own practice. And, you know, feel free to draw on these resources and to use them as much as you want or as little. It's really all just there for you to enjoy and to use as really feels right to you. So before we go any further, I'm just curious if any of you were able to watch the movie As It Is in Heaven. And if you were, and you want to share something, please feel free to press star. I'm just getting used to all these controls, so if you want to share something, just press star 6 on your phone, and then I can unmute you so that you can share something that you'd like to share with the group about the movie. Would anybody like to share anything? Okay, not yet. All right. Well, I'll do some more talking then, but you can be thinking about whether or not. Oh, wait, here we go. Okay, great. All right, so go ahead.
This is Christine. I think I'm starting to get the idea of the buttons on the phone.
We'll all get used to it.
I watched the movie the other night. I was able to get it from Dolce Video, and it was so good. So I'm sure most people maybe haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so I won't say much about it except for that it is lovely and you really should watch it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christine. And I think Julie also has something to say. Julie, do you want to share something?
Yeah, it really is a really lovely movie. There's so many aspects to it that are amazing and really relate to what we're doing in our group. It's super funny and for lack of a better word, like poignant in a lot of different ways. I'll just say at the end, it was so amazing how it all came together and how it related to the meditation that you did with us with having your having your child with mm-hmm. With you, and at the end how I don't know if I should share or not, like, about the movie, but how he met up with his child at the end.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it was really beautiful, and it kind of reminded me of that, and just how I think when we were in our group, how I commented that it was a beautiful death in a way, mm-hmm. of just being with all parts of yourself, and it was just like wow, that it just kind of came together for me in the end of that movie with in that way. So
that's so great. Thanks,
yeah.
Julie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I totally agree. I felt the same way. The ending of the movie just is so powerful and so beautiful. And also, as Christine shared, there is so much in this movie that is just totally relevant to the work that we're doing in our class on so many different levels, the singing voice, and then the relationship of the empowerment with the singing voice to dealing with some of the most difficult, challenging, overwhelming issues in our lives. To me, this is one of the most powerful things about this movie is, and again, I don't want to give anything away for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but the way that the story showed that as people came into the beauty and the power and the resonance of their voice, things that they wanted and needed to say in their lives began to get said, and healing began to happen. I mean, it wasn't always pretty, and it was often very painful, but as their voices began to open up, it encouraged and gave birth to tremendous renewal and deep, deep healing in so many lives in the group of people in the choir. So I really encourage everyone to please take the time, go on Netflix or rent the video, and I really hope you enjoy it as much as I do and as much as Christine and Julie did. It's a really, really beautiful movie that gives a lovely window into the power of the work that we're doing together. So I'd like to talk just a little bit tonight about how you can continue to deepen your experience and understanding of the power of your voice between our monthly class sessions. And, of course, this call is one way that we're doing that. But really, this work is about attuning to our inner voice of wisdom. And that work really unfolds within our own awareness. For each one of us within our own awareness, as we pay attention to our own voices on every level, on the physical level, we pay attention to what we say out loud. We watch how we choose our words and cultivate our ability to speak clearly and truthfully from our deepest self. So we pay attention to the physical voice, and then we pay attention to our inner voices, the voice of the mind. We observe our thoughts. We stand back and listen to what they have to say. And we use our discrimination instead of being blindly driven by the wandering chatter of the mind. So we pay attention to the voices in our head, the voices in our mind. And as Robin so beautifully showed us last week, we pay attention to the voice of the body, and we practice listening to its signals. We listen to what part of the body is calling our attention, what part of the body needs our attention. And we pay attention to the yes and the no of the body. And we practice listening for when our body is saying yes and when our body is saying no. So we pay attention to the voice of the body. And again, we listen to the pay attention to the amazing intuitive voice of the heart. And of course, this one is very hard to hear. If it's hard for us to hear the voice of the body, of course it's even more difficult to hear the voice of the heart. So hearing the voice of the mind, that's not a problem. We listen to that all the time. But we need to step back and to learn to listen and hear the voice of the body and the voice of the heart. All of these voices, except for our physical voice, of course, are happening within. They're happening within our own awareness. And so at a very deep level, no one else can do this work for us. No one else can step inside our mind and do the hard work of observing our thoughts. No one else can listen to what the body is trying to say. Only we can feel the physical sensations of our own body. And no one else can hear the wisdom whispered within our own heart. Once we hear it, we can share it with others. But each one of us has to do the work to learn to listen to what the heart has to say. So truly, no one else can do this work for us. And so no website, no phone call, and to actually a very great degree, no class can do the work that we need to do to uncover and hear the beauty of our own inner voice. So what do we need to do in order to do that? How do we begin to do that work? Well, the very first thing we need to do is to cultivate a practice of listening. And it's funny because this course in its advertising is about voice. We talk about the voice of the heart and we talk about empowering our voice. But all of that empowerment comes from listening. So the very first thing we need to do is cultivate our ability to listen. Now the great thing is we're already always listening inside. We are always doing that all the time. It's just that we're tuning in to the very topmost superficial layer of our thinking process. The station that we've got the inner radio tuned to is the constant chatter of the mind. Now, the human mind is a beautiful thing. And our capacity to think thoughts and use words and concepts without having to say them out loud is truly an amazing gift. It's extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. With all the creativity that we have, all the power that we have as human beings, none of us can create this capacity. We don't know how it happens, that we have the power to think, that we have the power to make silent words inside our heads. So it's an amazing power. But the problem is that we use it unwisely. That power of inner thought, of inner speech, is used for the most mundane purposes. And anyone who's done even a little meditation knows this chattering power of the mind. It's as if we had within us an infinite choice of amazing radio stations, but we choose to tune in to the ones that are playing the most loud, awful, staticky music. And when we first begin to turn our attention within to listen for the inner voice of wisdom, it can be really hard because all we hear is that inner chatter, the same chatter that's been going on inside as long as we can remember. And I just want to encourage everyone to say, our task is not to get rid of that chatter. What we want to do is refine the inner listener so that we can begin to hear more deeply and so that we can begin to choose what we want to listen to, so that repetitive thoughts and old patterns, old ways of thinking are revealed for what they are, so that we can begin to let them go. We're not going to hear the voice of the heart if we don't cultivate some really basic skills for listening for the wisdom that lies within. We have to start somewhere, and the best place to start, for sure, is by turning our attention within. And there's really only one way to begin doing this. There's a multitude of techniques, and in this class we will encounter and experiment with and try out a multitude of really powerful, really amazing techniques. But rock bottom, there's one thing that we have to do, and that's that we have to create the habit of turning our attention within, of slowing down and shifting our focus from what's going on outside and turning it within. And then once we turn it within, we have to again shift our focus from the surface layer of the mind, the surface layer of the mental chatter, and take it to a deeper level. Now, there are no rules for how to do this. You don't have to get up every morning at 5 o'clock and meditate for an hour. If that works for you, great. But that doesn't always work for everyone. So the challenge is to find something that works for you. And when that doesn't work anymore, to find something else. My absolute favorite way to quiet my mind is to sit still by the side of a river, preferably for hours, by myself or with my husband. And I can do this with my husband because he has the same practice too. But I can't always be by the river, especially not in the winter. And so I need other rituals and other ways to remind myself, to take myself back inside. So another practice I have is to put on my wetsuit and go down to the ocean and wander in and out of the water. And when I do this, I go in and out of the water over and over again. I look at the sun. I look down at the waves. And I walk in the water and I sit in the sand. And after a while, there is nothing at all in my head or in my mind. No words. There's just sunlight and waves and sand and foam. But I can't always do that either. And so my bottom line, the practice I do when nothing else is possible, is to just go to my altar and light a candle and sit there quietly and simply turn my attention to the feeling of being that lies within. And I'd like to just take a moment for each one of us. Hopefully everyone is in a quiet place, a calm place without distraction. And if you can just quietly close your eyes and turn your attention within, make yourself comfortable so that nothing's pulling you out. And align your body in a way that helps you to feel relaxed and quiet and calm. And you can begin just by watching your breath as it comes out and as it comes in. And imagine, as we did in our class before, imagine there's a fire within you, deep within your being, at the center, the core of your being. And imagine that you are literally turning your attention, turning your inner eye toward that flame, toward that fire. Feel the feeling of being. Being within you that is always present. Present to every thought, every emotion, every sound, everything that happens in your life. This awareness, this being is present. There was never a time, and there will never be a time when this being is not present. Just feel your own inner being. And then coming back to your breath as it goes in and out. And then back to the room, wherever you are. Whatever room your being is in right now. There is no right or wrong ritual. There's no one way to quiet and calm ourselves so that we can listen, so that we can be present to our own inner self. There's only the way that works right now for us. So again, I'd like to invite anyone who'd like to share what works for you to get in touch with your inner self. And again, there's no right, there's no wrong, But if you'd like to share what works for you to get in touch with your inner self, press *6 on your phone, and we will get used to this, I'm sure. So would anyone like to share what works for you to get in touch with your inner self? Okay, nobody wants to share right now, but I see that Therese just joined us. And so, Therese, I'm going to unmute you. Is this a good time for you to share with us your experience of daily ritual?
I could share a little bit. I apologize for missing the beginning of the call. I just got Cadence to sleep, and it was an opportunity for me to practice patience and be present with what was. I enjoyed putting together that daily practice log, and I think, you know, if you had a chance to read it as I wrote in there, you know, when I started doing this work with Karen, you know, my idea of doing practice was very
Hello? Therese? Hello? I'm sorry, but I don't know why, but I think Therese is not on the call anymore. But I see that someone with a number starting with 633 wants to share, and I'm not sure who it is, but can you identify yourself?
Sure. This is Carla.
Oh, Carla. Hi.
Hi. So I didn't hear what part of Therese was saying because I was responding, and you know the person came over. But I was responding to your question about what I, how I hear my inner voice, and for me, writing
great.
Is one way that is really helpful to uncover some of what's inside.
That's great. How do you actually work with writing?
Well, I do a whole bunch of different kinds of writing, but I have a journal that I keep off and on, and sometimes if I just have a question, I'll write it down, or at other times I just write, and I've had the feeling before that I might not even know something before I write it, and then I'll write it, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
that's such a great experience. And have you kept your journal for a long time?
Well, I started writing in a journal when I was in third grade, so
wow.
not continually, but off and on since then.
That's great. Well, one of the things that amazing things that came to me in the last week was my son came to visit, and he just happened to have this book with him. He said, "Mom, this is such a great book," and I looked at the book, and it's called Writing Down Your Soul.
Oh.
And I don't remember the subtitle, but it's something like How to Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's a book about journaling, but journaling in a particular way. And Carla, it's a lot like what you're saying. You journal in a way where you ask questions in this very powerful way to activate the voice of wisdom within. And it sounds a lot like what you're saying, of asking a question and then an answer will come that you didn't even know was there. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that with all of you guys. And Carla, thanks a lot for
you're welcome.
Sharing with us. And now I see that there is, and again, I don't know who this is, but it's a 668 number.
It's Carlisle.
Carlisle, hi.
Hello. So I also was just wanting to respond to your question about what I do to tune into that inner voice. Mm-hmm. And about 20 years ago, I was describing to a friend about my magic experience of getting to day 3 of a backpacking trip that needed to be at least scheduled to last for a week, because if it was ending by day 4, it wouldn't work. But by mm-hmm. day 3, my mind was clear, and I could walk along for hours, and just all the chatter in my mind was gone, and I would feel the layers peel away, and that deeper inner voice was so accessible to me, and I could listen and listen and listen. And the friend said, if you just learn to meditate, you can have day 3 of a backpacking trip anytime, anywhere in about 3 minutes. So that was an amazing thought to me. It no longer required, like, you know, putting on a wetsuit and getting into the ocean or whatever complicated thing might be involved. And though I still covet day 3 of a backpacking trip, I have a way that's very succinct in my own body to ground, to take a deep breath, to swallow following that breath, and then I have a visual image of what it's like to travel to where my inner voice resides.
Wow.
And then it opens up and I can listen. So, you know, if I'm super frazzled or anxious, having just received bad news or something, it might not be such a shortcut. But it's usually accessible to me, especially if I am in a quiet, natural place and not on a busy street corner. But it can happen on a busy street corner.
That's really great, Carlisle. What's the image that you use?
It's so hard to... It's my own idea of what starts out with a very physiologically based image of the body, like literally traveling down through tubes and cells, and then is sort of like a flower opening up.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Carlisle, thank you. That was awesome. Thanks so much for sharing. So I really relate to what Carlisle is saying. I also have a visual image that I shared with you in the little visualization that we did of a fire or a flame that's inside. And I feel like the reason why that image works for me is because if I imagine a flame or a fire with deep within me, then my attention literally turns around. It's like I'm turning my back on what's outside, and I'm turning my attention towards what is within. And when I do that, I literally feel almost like a pulsing presence within. And that pulsing presence doesn't have thought. It just is. And then that captures my attention. Sometimes when I'm walking at the ocean, and see if you can follow me in this little visual exercise. How many of you go to Moonstone Beach? And you know, the cool thing about Moonstone Beach is how slowly the water changes depth. So when you walk along the edge of the water at Moonstone Beach, it's very, very shallow. And if things are clear and there's not a lot of wind, you can look at the water and you can see the reflection of the sky and the clouds above on the surface of the water. And if you change your attention just a little bit, instead of seeing the reflection of the sky and the clouds, you can see straight through all the way to the bottom, and you can focus your attention on the sand. And sometimes the sand is flat, and sometimes it has little ridges and ripples just like the waves on top. And then maybe that reminds you of the waves on top, so you shift your vision again, and all of a sudden you're seeing the shape of the waves on top, or maybe the foam that's riding on the surface of the water. So depending on how you focus your gaze. You can be looking at the sky in the water. You can be looking at the earth under the water. You can be looking at the surface of the water. Or you could even be looking at the water itself or what might be floating in the water. So it all depends on how you focus your gaze and how you focus your attention. And when we go within, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. When we go within, what we're aware of is directly related to where we focus our attention. So Carlyle's image of a flower going down, deep down within to the core of her being and then coming to a flower there is an incredibly effective technique. Or looking within towards that radiant flame, you're literally turning your attention towards your own inner being. And the amazing thing about this is that virtually every religious tradition says that this is a powerful thing to do. So this practice of turning our attention within, and then when we do, focusing our attention on our own sense of being, not on a thought, not on words within our mind, not on a feeling, whether it's a feeling in the body or an emotional feeling. We can choose to focus on those, and many times we do. But what we're looking for here is not the content, the emotional or mental or physical or psychological content. What we're looking for is the living being within who is the one who experiences all of that. And we can feel that. We can rest in it. But it requires practice. It's like learning how to ski or learning how to surf or learning how to do virtually anything that requires a lot of skill and a lot of patient practice. So this is taking that practice of listening within for the body's yes and the body's no. It's taking that even deeper, taking it beyond yes and no, beyond mental thinking, beyond emotional content, towards our own inner self within. Now, this listening within is a very, very profound, profound practice. And it's really, really crucial to our spiritual unfoldment, to our spiritual development. And this practice of learning how to rest within our inner being in many religious traditions is itself the goal. But the problem is, most of the time, for most of us, what we are resting in when we turn within is a whole lot of static. It's that radio station that we talked about that's so loud, so full of chatter. And so what we need are some techniques in order to get beneath, to shift our focus and to shift our gaze so that we're not just listening to the endless lists of what we have to do or repeating in our minds something someone else did or agonizing over something that we said. Those lists and those stories are usually all that we hear when we sit down to turn within. So we need ways to actually work with that chatter before we can drop down. We need to learn how to work with that chatter that's literally drowning out the wisdom within. And there are a number of different ways to work with the chatter. So one way is to try to stop it. And one technique that we can try to use to do that is to focus on the breath, to literally take our attention and put it on something that is not verbal to stop the chatter. Or we can, as Carla did, take our awareness on a hike. Or like I do, we can go down to the ocean and simply stop the mental chatter of the mind by filling it with nature. Another practice that a lot of traditions have used is to listen to that chatter from the stance of the witness, to just watch it, knowing that it's always changing, knowing that it's always going to be different. But as we watch it, we get some distance. We are not the chatter. We're the one listening to the chatter. We're not the emotion. We're the one watching that emotion unfold. So to watch our mental chatter and our emotional movements from the inner stance of the witness is a second way. A third way is to replace the inner chatter with something else. And this is the path of mantra, where we take a mantra, something sacred, a sacred sound, and we repeat it within. So we replace our mental chatter with something else, with something sacred. And it's sort of a new age way of doing this is with an affirmation. So if we're hearing our inner voice saying, I'm stupid, I'm weak, I'm helpless, we can replace that voice with an affirmation. I am strong. I am powerful. I am centered. I am clear. So we've said three different ways we can try and stop the mental chatter by focusing on something else. We can listen to it, get some distance by listening to it from the stance of the witness. And third, we can replace that mental chatter with something else, with a mantra or with affirmation. But I'd like to suggest a fourth way that I think will be really helpful, really fundamental for us in our work together in this course. A really basic, important step that we can take, and that's to cultivate a deep trust in the presence of our inner wisdom. And this kind of trust, this kind of faith, doesn't have to come from knowing. It doesn't have to come from knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's there. This kind of trust or faith can be a step into the unknown. To simply try it out, even if we don't believe it, to simply try out trusting that we do have wisdom within. Having that faith in ourselves, even if we have nothing to base it on, does begin to lead us to the inner experience of the wisdom of the heart. So in addition to all of these other methods that are familiar from many different religious traditions to stop the chatter by listening to the breath, to listen to the chatter from the stance of the witness, to replace it with something else like the mantra, we can add to our toolbox another really important, powerful tool, and that's trusting that we do have wisdom within. So now I see Therese is back on the call. Therese, do you want to try again?
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm not sure what happened. My cell phone just dropped all, I think, but I really enjoyed listening to the Carlisle and Carla share, and I'm glad I had that time to just listen. But I think, you know, listening to Karen talk about trust or faith, that I had an experience with that. And I think, you know, I suppose I've had many experiences, but I began to name them and frame them differently. And the first experience that I had with that was through journaling and writing poetry. I had a good friend who always kept telling me over and over again that writing was, you know, that I had to trust the process of writing. And if I sat down and tried to write something, that I wasn't going to get what my heart really needed to say. And so I did kind of take that leap of faith of, like, I was really resistant. And I think it was the, you know, academic mind in me that had been trained in literature and trained in writing that, you know, you make a plan and you make an outline and you know what your thesis is. And there was part of me that was imposing that in my creative world as well. And it created a real barrier to me truly expressing what I needed to say and what I needed to hear. And I started just trying it out to see what it was like to just write. And oftentimes I would start with, like, this is ridiculous. like nothing good is going to come of this, because all my mind wants to say right now is how the fact that I'm never going to be the kind of poet I want to be, or whatever negative drama was getting in the way. And I would write that, and eventually it would just sort of disappear. And then these things would come. And sometimes I would look at them and I was like, I have no idea what that means. And then I would memorize them and recite them, and it would turn into these incredible pieces of wisdom that, you know, sometimes took me years to understand. And in preparing for this next class and talking about telling your story, I've been going through all my old poetry journals, and just last night, you know, I was reading this poem and I was looking at it, and I wrote it, you know, before I had a child, and there was this image in it about me being an infant inside my mother's womb. And as I read this metaphor, right in that moment, it revealed to me this information I needed at that moment. And I just felt it. I felt this gratitude for having trusted that process and documenting it. And I wrote it 6 years ago, or maybe even seven. And that, you know, where it started with that sort of leap of faith, I guess you could say, of just trying that process. And then again and again having these experiences where for me, it's usually through writing poetry where it became a lived experience where it wasn't a blind faith at all anymore. Now it's trusting my own deepest experience and reminding myself that, oh, that's there. When I turn there, it is there, and it has come many times, and it continues to come when I stop and turn to it and make that conscious decision.
That's great. Thank you, Therese.
Mm.
It was beautiful. Are you finished then? Is that?
I think so, yeah.
Great. Okay, good. Well, I want to make sure and give time for anyone who wants to ask any questions or share anything that has unfolded for you either in the class that we were in together last time or since then. And everyone should know that, you know, Therese is on the call, Robin is on the call. So if you want to ask any questions of either one of them, you can. So again, if you want to ask a question or offer a share of your own experience, just press star 6 on your phone, and I'll be able to put you on the call and unmute you. So if anyone would like to ask a question or share something, you can do that now. And while we're waiting to see if anybody wants to do that, actually, here we go. We have somebody. Okay, you're on. Your phone call number starts with 382.
Hi, it's Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
And, hi. So, you know, I have a question. My question is more like, where do dreams fall into all of this? Because I find that, you know, my dreams are vivid, and I've always been a dreamer, you know, at night. My night dreams are vivid. And I'm just curious, you know, where you put that. How that
oh, that's a fan. That's a fabulous question, Peggy. You know, it's so interesting. I go through a lot of phases in my own personal dream life, and there was one phase when I was in India in 2007 where I was part of a very beautiful, very active dream group, and it was one of the most powerful experiences. I felt like I was in this exotic physical location, but I was in an even more exotic inner location because of doing this incredible dream work with really great dreaming partners. And a lot of information did come through sitting with and holding the dreams, not only under my own self-inquiry, but with these two really gifted collaborators in the dream world. But it's almost like it had to be unlocked, and the wisdom of the dream is beautiful, I think, at challenging our left brain dominance. You know, the left brain that is the rational, thinking, verbal side. And the wisdom of the dream works in a completely different way. It's intuitive. It's right brain. It's associative. And so something that comes to you in a dream can have incredible resonance, but not in a literal way, in a metaphoric way or through association. And so it can really unfold the more right brain, intuitive, associative ways of thinking that can really help to balance us as a left brain dominant culture. So I think dreams are a really powerful window into a world of information. That said, in the same way that a dream can be an unfolding inner visual image, but it's not necessarily revelatory. So one of the things, and I'll try to explain what I mean, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about a lot for this course is, what is wisdom? What's the difference between words that just say something ordinary and words that light up your heart, open your heart, open your mind, and teach you something really fundamental about life or about what it is to be a human being? So there's a difference between just words and wisdom. And in my experience, dreams are not always wisdom. Dreams often give information that might be interesting and it might be valuable, but it's not necessarily wisdom. Does that make sense, Peggy?
It does. I mean, some of my dreams are, you know, very literally about, you know, who's driving my car, which to me is, you know, well, that's pretty obvious. But then other dreams where I have just, you know, like I'm flying or I'm, you know, fluttering my wings, or, I mean, you know, I'm not sure what's you know, they're wonderful and they feel great and, you know, but yeah, they aren't all the same. I mean, that's
right.
For sure. And some of them, you know, some of them, the other thing is, you know, the question is also about other people in my dreams. They're not, you know, I know there's a practice of looking at everybody in your dream as yourself, because your dream is, you know, they're not inside of you. You know, they're,
mm-hmm.
they're a reflection of some part of you.
Right.
And, you know, and yet these people are alive and well and very vital in my life, and they're in my dream doing this thing. You know? So I guess I'm just trying to ferret out, you know, the inner wisdom from
mm-hmm.
all of that activity.
Well, and that's, I think that a lot unfolds through our relationship with the dream also. So, for instance, that practice that you talk about of looking at everything, every person, every element of your dream as an aspect of yourself
mm-hmm.
is a very, very powerful practice. The tantric traditions, one of the basic fundamental teachings of the tantric traditions is that the path of true wisdom and the path of total liberation lies in accepting and embracing absolutely everything that occurs in your life as your own self. So taking that step with respect to your dreams is a really great first step towards that path of liberation, that there is nothing in the world that isn't your own being. That the tantric teachers tell us about.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot happens in how we relate to the dream. And I'm going to give you an example. While you were talking, I walked over to my altar and I picked up, I have here, I'll bring it to our next class, I have a framed drawing that I made. 10 years ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, I dreamt that I saw an angel. It was really beautiful. She was flying through this beautiful blue sky, and there were sort of white clouds and blue sky, and this beautiful angel was flying through the sky, and all of a sudden I realized that she had this beautiful trumpet in her mouth, and out of the trumpet came a rainbow. And it was such a beautiful dream. I woke up from the dream and literally the hair was standing up on the back of my neck because of the way it made me feel. But I had no idea what it meant. And luckily, at the time, I happened to be teaching a class at HSU on dreams and visions. And the other person co-teaching with me led a class where we all drew a picture of one of our dreams. So the day that she invited us to do this, I knew exactly which dream I wanted to draw. I wanted to draw this dream. And so I took crayons and I started to draw the angel and I drew her wings and I drew her trumpet and I drew the beautiful rainbow coming out of the end of the trumpet, and I was so happy making this crayon drawing. I was like a little kid grabbing colored crayons and making my drawing. And then all of a sudden, just in this childlike joy of drawing my dream, the words rose up inside me saying, "Voice is a gift that comes from God. Voice is a gift that comes from God." And so I wrote that underneath the angel with the beautiful trumpet with the rainbow coming out. And ever since, this has been on my altar. Because something in me paid attention to the dream, another level of wisdom came through. And I really believe that everything in our life is calling out to us to pay attention. So learning how to listen, learning how to pay attention, will itself bring wisdom out of the ordinary experiences of our lives, out of the ordinary, even the ordinary dreams, if we learn how to listen, if we learn how to pay attention. So I need to remember to bring this drawing to put on the altar at our next class. And Peggy, thank you so much for asking that question. Is there anything else you want to add?
Not really.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So does anyone else want to share something or ask a question or offer something to the rest of the class? How about Robin, can we hear from you? You want to say hi to everybody?
Yeah. Hello, yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm here in Ojai, just gaining so much incredible experience and insights about everything that we're talking about. It couldn't be more perfect. When I arrived, my teacher, Katie, said, you know, it's all about telling your story. I was like, this is awesome. So, well, I'm excited about sharing some of what I'm doing here with all of you. I don't want to say too much about that now because I know we'll get to play with it when we're together. But I'm just, I'm just tickled. I have a lot of, I've been taking notes on what you're saying, Karen, and I guess one thing that I like, and I think it may have even been part of our commitment form for our course, is this idea that you were just talking about, that there's wisdom at any place along the way if we pay attention. And I love that idea of committing to learning from every interaction that we have, from every situation that we're in. Like, we can just decide to do that. You know, we can just make a commitment to ourselves that's how we want to live. And it requires openness and curiosity and like a state of wonder. And that's probably, for me right now, where my biggest learning edge is. And it's just been fantastic, you know, for me to just look at the ways that I'm not open to learning from somebody or something, and, you know, in the ways that I am. And so that's really where I'm exploring right now is, you know, can I keep kind of stepping back and opening my view and taking, kind of putting aside my, as I'm calling her, excuse me, my little Miss Know-It-All. I'm trying to let her sit to the side so I can have this view of open mind and openness to learning. Because she wants to get in there and go, oh, no, I already know the answer. Shut everything down. we'll be exploring persona play, too. So that's going to be fun. Can't wait to see you guys. Yeah.
Great. Well, we can't wait for you to come home, Robin.
Thanks. I'm about to make some noise, Karen, actually, so go ahead and unmute me.
Okay, I'm going to mute you again. Okay, great. Thanks, Robin. And just so that the rest of you understand, when Robin was talking about everything being about telling our stories, that's where we're going to be moving next. When we gather again on March 2nd, we're going to continue to work with the yes and the no. We're going to continue to work with listening to the body, and we're going to continue with our singing practice with Rob. And we're going to be doing all kinds of really great work with the themes that we opened up last month. But we're also going to begin to move into the next phase of our work together, which is very much grounded in listening to and telling our own stories. And this is a really, really important key part of our process together with voice, telling our stories. It's what we do all the time. We tell our stories inside to ourselves. We tell our stories to others. But we tell them in a particular way. And so what we want to do is start stepping back and listening to our own stories. So again, listening is always as important as speaking. Listening is how we learn to speak when we're infants. And the same is true on the spiritual path. We learn to speak from an empowered place, from a liberated, free place, through listening. So we really want to learn how to listen deeply to our own life story. So this will kind of be our next phase on the path together. And I'll put this up on the website along with a couple of other questions. But one of the questions that I want to plant like a little seed for you to contemplate over the next couple of weeks is to think about stories in your life where you have either said yes or you wanted to say yes. Stories that express yes in your life. And also stories that carry a lot of no. Things that you wanted to say no to, things that you wanted to shut out of your life. So thinking about stories in your life where you wanted to say yes, or where your whole being is saying yes, and stories where you're saying no. And don't worry too much if you're not coming up with great stories, because we'll have exercises and fun things to do when we get to class next time to start stirring up our inner stories. So one last time, I really want to open it up to the group just to see if there's anyone else who has a burning question or something that they would really like to share, then just press *6 on your phone, and this is your moment. We'll pause for a minute just to see if anybody wants to do that. You can pause and listen for just a moment. Okay, so we'll start to wind up. So just to come back to this theme of listening, which is really kind of our theme for this evening, we're going to be doing a lot of listening in this net. Oh, wait, Therese. Therese, hi.
Hi. So I had a question as I was listening to you talk. I wrote a poem a couple of days ago about desire, when you were talking about the desire, and Robin was sort of echoing it as well, or not necessarily the desire, but you were talking about the ability to look at every interaction as an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
What I found through this recent thing I wrote was that this has become a really strong desire of mine. And the poem was essentially, it was really short, it said that desire, cloaked in a noble robe, moved into the cave of my heart. She's tired and stubborn and difficult to evict. And I was just curious if you had anything you can offer, because that desire to be present from moment to moment, I feel like, has become an obstacle and a weight that's getting in the way of me actually doing that.
Mm. So your attention is focused on the desire instead of on the present moment?
And there's a lot of, I think, yeah, you know, or when I catch myself not being present, or I've created this ideal of, oh, if I'm present all the time, I'll feel good and I'll be in the flow in the river and it'll feel good. And then these times it doesn't feel good, mm-hmm. when challenges arise and aversion comes up, and then there's this tightening to it, you know, and then there's an extra layer of challenge of, oh, but I'm doing all this work, and this is, you know, it becomes this extra, another layer to unpeel again to get back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really relate to what you're saying, and it's kind of another step down on the road where we learn how to, we like identify with yes, and we find a way of making our deep heart's desire our yes. And then we want to say no to the things that keep us from that. But then that yes and that no become a bipolar, right? There's my yes. Yes, I want to be spiritual. Yes, I want to be present. And oh no, I'm not. And then we're stuck in the same duality that led us to the place of wanting to be present in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we grab on to a desire, it doesn't matter what desire it is, even if it's a good desire, when we grab on to it, it's the quality of grasping. Yes is a form of grasping. And there's another way of saying yes that's not tied to no. There's a yes, I want this, and no, I don't want that. And that yes is really a no. It's not that we're saying yes to the spiritual life. We're saying, no, I don't want to suffer.
Yeah.
And there's another way of saying yes that is simply unfolding and opening to what is in that deep inner trust and faith. Having faith in our inner wisdom is just the first step. We're practicing having faith. We're practicing trusting in our own life. So there's that other way of saying yes that isn't underneath a no. Does that get to the core of your question?
You said it, I felt like the other part that came up for me is also shifting to trusting that in others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think it's the most challenging for me with my children, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. trusting that their paths will unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Therese. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. So, for everyone, Therese and I have been working like this for a long time, and there's a lot of mutual trust there. And I just want to acknowledge both Therese and Robin that this whole class, everything we're doing, grows out of really years of the three of us in different ways with each other cultivating this experience of trust, not only in our own process, but in doing it together, trusting in walking down this path of deepening our understanding, deepening our ability to pay attention, deepening our ability to hear the voice of wisdom, not just for ourselves, but collaboratively, doing it together. And so I want to thank the two of them, and I want to thank all of you for coming into this circle and being part of this work. I know I speak for Therese and Robin. We're so grateful that you're all here. So have a wonderful, 2.5 weeks, however, 3.5, I'm not sure how long it is, but have a wonderful time until our next meeting on March 2nd. And may you be filled with the desire to pay attention to your inner voice of wisdom. So many thanks, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.